Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S., and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Go ahead and call right now. Fill up these phone lines. There's so much to talk about as far as current events, hot topic issues, and the Word of God speaks into all of these things, and we would love to take you into the Word of God and have a wonderful discussion around the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how He is the answer to every need of the human heart. So again, the number 844-322-2742. My name is Bob Christopher, and glad you have tuned in or and are listening this afternoon. I want to start today's broadcast with a passage from the book of Titus, and we've been working through the book of Titus on our Friday teaching edition, and we will be in chapter 3 tomorrow, so be sure and join us for that. But I want to give a little prelude to what we're going to be discussing tomorrow, and it's verses 1 and 2 out of Titus 3. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle and show perfect courtesy toward all people. Now, as believers in Christ, we have the grace of God that has saved us, and we have the grace of God that is empowering us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live righteous, upright lives, self-controlled lives in this present age. So the grace of God that saves us is the grace of God that is compelling us forward and empowering us to live out in this world of darkness who we are as children of light. This is so vitally important. We don't have to seek solutions out there in the world. We don't have to depend on worldly means to live good lives. We have Jesus Christ Himself living inside of us. And so recognizing that, Paul gives some practicality, some attitudes, and be submissive to rulers and authorities, be obedient, ready for every good work. Prepare yourself to be used by God when He calls upon you. That's what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Make yourself available to God. God isn't interested in all of our skills and talents and those sort of things. He is interested in our availability. And as we offer ourselves to Him, He's going to do incredible things in and through us. But I love verse 2. Speak evil of no one. We live in a day and age where, man, everybody is firing shots across the bow, speaking evil of all kinds of people. There is judgment going on like I've never seen in my entire life. Every little word is scrutinized. Every little word is put under a magnifying glass. And if the person who is doing the judging doesn't like what's being said, there's a shot that's fired, a shot of judgment that is fired, and it disintegrates into speaking evil of other people. It says to avoid quarreling. Oh my gosh, would you look on Facebook and Twitter, and that's all you see is quarreling. And we're establishing a very toxic atmosphere for relationships. Instead of coming together as people, instead of coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ, our quarreling is moving us away from one another. It says to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people, not some people, not just the people that you like, but to all people. Now, how is this going to happen for believers in Christ? Well, we have the grace of God that is moving in us, working in us to bring about these various attitudes and these ways in which we can treat one another. And gosh, out there in the world, we're not going to see necessarily this stuff in action. We're going to see rebellion. We're going to see all sorts of things. And as believers in Christ, we have an opportunity to step into the public square, into the marketplace, and to shine forth the light of God's love and grace. And we do it in how we speak to one another. We do it in the fact that we avoid the quarrels and the argumentation. We do it by being gentle and being courteous one to another. This is the grace of God working through us. And if there's ever a time that the world needs to be seeing what the grace of God looks like, it's now. So let's offer ourselves to Christ as a living sacrifice. Let's allow the grace of God to teach us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. As we do, we will see that our voices will gain strength out there in the marketplace, and people will be interested in hearing about this good news of Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is the solution. He is the one that has offered himself for the world. So let's lift him up. And the way that we can do it is simply speaking evil of no one, avoid quarreling, being gentle, and being courteous to all people. Well, I hope this has been an encouragement to you. We're going to take some calls and answer your questions, and we would love to answer yours on today's edition of Basic Gospel. The number 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. This is a critical time in the life of Basic Gospel as we approach our June 30th fiscal year end, and we have a wonderful good news matching gift challenge that I would like to present to you, our listeners, to see if you would be interested in helping us get this good news out to as many people as possible. We need right now in this world the good news of Jesus Christ. You turn on your television, you go to the radio, you go to your internet feeds and all of this sort of stuff, and it's just filled with one bad news story after another. And, of course, different journalists and different people are trying to insert a few feel-good stories in the mix just to give a glimmer of hope. But, boy, what people really need to hear is the good news about Christ, the fact that he died for our sins, the fact that he was buried, the fact that he overcame sin and death through the power of resurrection. Let's make that good news the news that people long for. And the only way that we can do it is by coming together as a group and saying, let's get this out through the airwaves to as many people as we possibly can. So that's the opportunity. And for any gift that you give today or through the rest of this month, it's going to be doubled. So you will have twice the impact. Your gift of $100 will become $200. Somebody's gift of $500 will become $1,000. So you have an opportunity to make twice the impact through your gift to Basic Gospel today. And we encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and then follow all the instructions. And while you're there, be sure and request your copy of our latest resource, a forgiveness devotional, a 30-day devotional. We encourage you to take the journey. This is the answer to the needs of the human heart, and we want to put this in your hands as our way of saying thank you for your gift to help us end fiscal year 2020 on a very powerful note. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. We welcome your calls. 844-322-2742. Go ahead and dial that number right now. In the meantime, we're going to listen to a question from Dorothy.
Hi. I have a question about Adam and Eve. Because since they were the first two people that God had created, and they are the first two to commit sin, are they like will we see them in heaven, like when we get there, or are they in hell because they sinned? Were they still saved? Just curious about that. Thank you. Bye.
Well, Dorothy, that's a great question. We know the story of Adam and Eve, and we kind of end the story with the fall, the fact that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we see that God ousted them from the garden, and he put angels there to guard the entry back into it so that they could not partake of the tree of life. And that was for all of our sakes. That was for all of our benefit. Why? Because he did not want Adam and Eve to partake of that and to be in their state of death eternally and not have hope for you and for me. So that was all a part of God's plan. But so that's how we kind of see the ending of the story of Adam and Eve. But that really isn't the ending. God said to them that he's going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So that was the first mention, really, of the gospel, the first mention of the good news concerning Jesus Christ. And certainly the bloodline flowed through Adam and Eve to Seth and then down to Noah. Noah all the way down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then all the way down to Jesus. So we see that bloodline flowing from Adam and Eve through Seth all the way to Jesus. So that's of interest in this particular question. We also see that God did something amazing for Adam and Eve after they sinned. So when they sinned, they recognized their nakedness, and they tried to clothe themselves, and they tried to clothe themselves with fig leaves. Well, that's not going to do it. That's not going to cover up their guilt and shame in any way, shape, or form. So what did God do? He took the skins of animals, and he clothed them. And I think that's a picture of us being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, us being forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So I think we see a lot of typology, a lot of foreshadowing of what we're going to experience. Now, does that answer the question about Adam and Eve? No, it doesn't give us a definitive answer, but it does help us to see that God poured out mercy upon them in clothing them with the skins of these animals. That is an act of grace on God's part. And so I think with that, we would probably say that they were welcomed back into the good graces of God through God's act. And that's the way it is for all of us. God acts, God pours out his grace. We respond to that in faith, and that's where salvation, that's when salvation comes to us. Now, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter on the saints of old, all of them being commended for their faith, we see nothing in there about Adam and Eve. So I think we just have to look at kind of the story itself, the fact that God clothed them in the skins of the animal as an act of grace from him into their lives, and we just need to rest with that. Well, Dorothy, I hope that helps. Thanks for your question today. We certainly appreciate it. 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742. Go ahead and call right now. We would love to hear from you. We're going to go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Daryl. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Daryl. How you doing?
We're doing okay. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you doing? Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Well, what's on your mind?
First of all, I was telling the guy a while ago, I love your show. I try to listen to it every day when I'm driving. I'm driving right now. But I have a question about when we die. I know our bodies go to the grave. He says he gives us rest. Does this mean our soul is resting until he comes back and brings us all? Or does that mean, or do we go to heaven right after our earthly body dies? I've always kind of wondered about that.
Well, Daryl, that's a great question. And let me ask you to turn your radio down so we don't get this feedback coming through. But as far as our souls, what happens to us when we die, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for example, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. He also talks about his desire to depart from this hard, difficult life that he was experiencing in his letter to the Philippians. And he says, you know, I would rather to depart and be with the Lord. So I think as soon as we die, as soon as we take our last breath, then we're going to be immediately absent from the body and present with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be there with him. And I think that's good news. I think that's our hope as believers in Christ. Now, there are some denominations that teach soul sleep, that we just go to sleep. And at the resurrection, God wakes us up and we go to be with him. I don't think the Word of God teaches that in any way, shape, or form. I think it's very clear in saying to us that immediately upon death, we are absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Yeah, because, you know, in, I think it's Mark 16:22, he's talking about Lazarus, you know, and when he dies, you know, he can, you know,
right.
Between, I guess, heaven to heaven, there's a great chasm or a great gulf, depending on what version you're reading. But Jesus talked a lot in parables, so I just want to know, you know, I believe what you're saying, but I've just always had that question because, you know, kind of, people would say you rest, you know, until Christ comes back, they were all risen up.
Well, the rest, Daryl, that we experience in Christ is resting in his finished work. You know, we're all trying to make ourselves right before God. We want to be justified. And so we do all sorts of things to try to make that happen, to bring about justification. But justification is not something that we can earn. Righteousness is God's gift to give, not ours to earn. So when we recognize that, and we recognize that his righteousness is offered freely to us as a gift of grace through the gospel, and when we receive it, that's when our souls are at rest. That's when our souls are at peace with God. That's when we have this confident assurance that we truly belong to Christ Jesus, that we are one of his, that we've been marked out as one of the people of God. So that's the rest that we can experience, and that's a here and now thing. So God says anybody who is weary and burdened and heavy laden and all those sort of things to come unto Jesus, and that Jesus would give rest to our souls. That's not after death. That's right now. So Daryl, you and I experience the Sabbath rest by resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So that's what the rest is talking about in the Word of God. But when we're absent from this body, we go to be with the Lord. Just as Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. So as soon as we die, we're going to be with the Lord. That's good news.
That is great news. I've always believed that. I've just kind of had that question, you know, because I was kind of wondering about, you know, what happens when the dead arise from the grave. You know, call the rapture, if you want to call it that, gathering or whatnot.
Well, there's going to be a calling out at the end, and those who are in Christ, you know, they're going to appear with the Lord. They're going to get their resurrected bodies, and if we're still around when Christ comes back, we're going to rise up and meet them in the air, and we're going to get our resurrected bodies. And then there's going to be a judgment of those who rejected Christ. So all of that is at the end. But when our end comes here on planet Earth, we immediately go and be with the Lord.
Yeah, I've kind of had the tribulation period, you know. People are still going to deny that Jesus is Lord and that God exists. I can't really fathom how I could do that when they see all this stuff starting to happen. And all of a sudden,
Yeah, Daryl, I don't understand it either, but there is a rebellion, and it's almost like a delusion has come over people, and I think even Paul talks about that in his one of his letters to the Thessalonians, that they're blinded to the gospel, and they kind of live out this lie that Satan's fed to them, that they can be like God. And so God continues to reach out, and we see this in the Word of God. He continued to reach out, and he continues to reach out, and he will continue to reach out and give people opportunity to repent. And what we're going to see is that those who are humble are going to receive the grace of God. Those who are proud of heart, they're going to be hardened to that, and their rebellion is going to intensify. And that's just a mystery, and it's a sad mystery that is what happens, but that's what the Word of God clearly declares. So, well, Daryl, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it.
I sure appreciate it. I will call you back sometime.
Yeah, please do. We'd love to hear from you any day, my friend, any day.
All righty. Well, Jesus is Lord, and God loves you, loves us all. All lives matter.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Daryl. Thanks for your call, my friend. Bye-bye. Well, let's go to this caller who called overnight with this question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you for your ministry. And I just had a question. The importance of communication in a marriage. Could you help me out with a couple of scriptures on this? I thank you, guys, and have a blessed day in the Lord.
So the issue of how to communicate in marriage, and that is a great question. I think one of the key passages that I would point you to is in the book of James, and I believe it's chapter 1 where it talks about the fact that we need to be slow to speak, slow to anger, but quick to listen. So the first part of communication is listening. To really find out what's going on inside of your spouse, and in your case, inside of your wife, what's really happening there. So I think if you will first and foremost sit down with her, you know, either on a daily basis or pick a couple of days during the week where you just sit down and you have all attention focused on her. You're all ears, you're listening, you want to find out what's really going on inside of her. Now, just that in and of itself is a powerful communication piece, because she, in just you sitting there listening, she's starting to recognize that you actually care, that you're actually interested in what's going on inside of her. And that is going to make the rest of the communication much easier. The other thing that you need to communicate is truth. And truth is that if the two of you are believers in Christ, both of you have the Spirit of God living in you. So you need to communicate that and to encourage her to grow in her understanding of who she is. And she needs to encourage you to grow in your understanding of who you are. A great passage of scripture for that is Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3 down through verse 14. Just read that to one another and let that become the foundation, kind of the platform on which you communicate one to another. And then the third thing is you need to just be able to step back and say, I've said my piece, and I'm going to leave this in the hands of the Lord. If the Lord lives in you and the Lord lives in her, then you can trust the Lord to work out whatever difficulties you may be experiencing in marriage. But thanks for your call. I certainly hope that helps. Well, thank you for listening to Basic Gospel. Boy, this half hour flew by. We'll be back tomorrow for a teaching edition. I want to remind you that we have a brand new video at our YouTube channel, What Does the Bible Say About Racism? You can find that at youtube.com/basicgospel. That's youtube.com/basicgospel. We would love for you to take a look at that and then share it with as many people as you possibly can. Well, we'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. Go to Basic Gospel Net. Become a part of Basic Gospel Nation. We would love for you to join us.